Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth. I guess it also is the beautiful corner booth of the Catholic Cafe, sitting here with Venerable Tom Dorian.
Hello.
And Ziggy Rodriguez.
That's me.
And so we are announcing a new series that we're going to do.
I
do too. It's a lot of fun. So we're going to talk about the transcendentals. What are those? You know, it sounds like it's a program about dental hygiene, but it's not. So what we're going to talk about is truth, beauty, goodness, unity, simplicity, these transcendental things that where we can find God and know God, and they're evident in the church and all around us, literally outside the church as well. And so we're going to talk about that. But before we do that, this is like the last chance we'll have to be able to tell you about I Give Catholic, about the opportunity to support the Catholic Cafe, our ministry, to help our ministry to expand and to grow, to be have more folks aware of what we're doing and really some of the truth, beauty, and goodness and unity that you would find here on the Catholic Cafe. We want that to be out where people can access it. So we would love for your support. If you listen to this program, just whatever you can spare, but if you're also just sitting on top of a pile of cash and thinking, what do I do with it?
Yeah.
It's the end of the year. It's time for tax deductions, whatever. Go to igivecatholic.org you can just look for the Catholic Cafe as the ministry. You'll be able to select that and read about what we're doing and what our goals are. $50,000 is what we're trying to raise. We need more equipment. We need better equipment. We need to be able to... we'll take that money and put it to use. It won't be used for any kind of salaries or stipends. We won't get fat and happy from that money. No, I know. It's okay. We're not buying more donuts. We're going to buy the things that make the donuts. So that's what we need to do, and that's how you can support us. We've had so much support. I've gotten so many emails from listeners who are moved by the program, who enjoy this program, who find it relevant to their lives, especially in this sort of day and age when things are just a little harder to kind of tolerate. There's hope, I think, that comes out of this program. So if you want that hope to spread and have more people have the opportunity that you've had, then this is what we'd love you to do, is go to igivecatholic.org. Look for the Catholic Cafe, and you will find us, and you'll be able to support us. You can also go to you can just Google I Give Catholic and Memphis, and you'll find the Diocese of Memphis page, I Give Catholic page, and we're listed on that ministry as well. So igivecatholic.org and the Catholic Cafe, put those two together, and everything is rosy, right, in the world of evangelization and sharing the faith. And so just thank you in advance for anything that you can do. Thank you in advance for supporting our ministry. And we'll see what happens on the other end of this. First time we've done it. And I hate to spend so much time on the front end of a program that we're locked and loaded. We've got some really good stuff that we're going to talk about these several weeks of Advent, the 4 weeks of Advent, and then maybe one bonus show at the end of it. But we're going to talk about... over this Advent period, we're going to talk about these things called transcendentals. And a lot of people don't necessarily know that word. We know what transcendent means, or we understand that concept. But the transcendentals are these characteristics, charisms, evidence that God is present in and around the church and in and around the world, the things that transcend all things, and we're able to discover God in this way. So the way I'll put this in context is I want you, all of our listeners right now, unless you're driving, raise your hand if, see if you're driving to raise your hand. So, raise your hand if you know someone who says they're an atheist. Raise your hand if you know someone who, Tom is raising his hand. We're all raising our hand here at the Catholic Cafe. Raise your hand if you have a kid that's wandered away from the church who says they don't necessarily believe in God, who's not sure what they believe, who really doesn't want to stop and really ponder all of this stuff, thinks they have plenty of time to do that later. Raise your hand if we if you're experiencing a world that seems like it's increasingly godless, and that God needs to be known in the world, raise your hand if you think it's difficult to evangelize and to share faith because you haven't memorized all the right catechism quotes or the right Bible verses, and you're like leaving that up to the quote-unquote professionals. You know, this is why discovering the transcendentals and understanding them and then like sort of living in them is one of the most powerful things you can do when it comes to evangelization, when it comes to sharing your faith and really just the presence of God with other people. So that's something we can all do, I think, and that's why I think we want to really start to go through this. Now, when we're looking at like evangelization, Bishop Barron said something that was really, I think, key to what we're talking about.
Yeah,
here.
He said, lead with beauty. In the beauty, they will see goodness. In the goodness, they will see truth.
So he's done a whole bunch of stuff on truth, beauty, and goodness.
Yes.
And those are three of the transcendentals. And people go like, well, yeah, wait a second. Great. You know, why are beautiful things beautiful? Why are good things good? Why is truth true?
Right.
You know, when you stop and think about it, it's like, well, there's some kind of essence of the presence of God in all those things. And so we're going to start, as Bishop Barron says, we're going to start with beauty.
Yes.
Right? And so we should probably talk about what beauty is then.
Well, so St. Thomas Aquinas has a lovely quote, and we're paraphrasing here.
It's a beautiful quote.
It's a beautiful quote.
Yeah.
Originally written in Latin, of course, but I love this translation of it. Is beauty is the joy experienced by the heart when the soul glimpses truth.
Yeah, that's really deep.
Yeah, I know.
It's really deep.
I'm going to sit and ponder on that one for a second.
Yeah, now, I will say, I'm not going to challenge Thomas Aquinas, because St. Thomas Aquinas is one of the great philosophers and thinkers of all time.
Yeah.
But, you know, bar none. This is like, he is like he's at the top of the heap, right?
Yeah.
And the pushback is, well, that's true for you.
Sure, sure.
There's relative truth, right? And people go like, well, how can you really find the truth?
Right.
Now, what he's saying here is, well, through beauty.
Right, right, exactly. And that your soul is glimpsing truth that's bringing joy to your heart when your soul glimpses truth by glimpsing that truth that's shining to you through beauty. And so couple of things that I think are important. First, a lot of times when you have a conversation about, like, what is beauty, what do we end up doing? We end up, like, categorizing things. Well, this is beautiful and this isn't, right? You know,
right. Top 10 actresses,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
top
right.
10 actors, you know, the good looking man of the year or whatever on the cover of some magazine, right? You'll
right.
see people categorizing things that way.
Exactly, exactly. And I think that this invites us out of that mindset and you know, to see beauty as something that moves the heart. You know, something that awakens and uplifts the soul and lifts the soul up to God, who is truth. Right?
Yeah, so there's like an esoteric component to this. I think it's beautiful to coin a phrase, that there's a connection between how we respond to things, right, and are in a physiological way.
Yeah.
So there is scientific evidence, if you're into science. I don't know if you're into science or not, but I'm into science, you know. And there is scientific evidence. There's data. There's stuff that shows us that, like, looking at a sunset, looking at a snow-capped mountain, feeling a cool breeze on an immense, vast beach, looking out at the ocean, that this will, like, actually lower your blood pressure.
I'm sure.
Cause
yeah.
your heart to slow down, like allow you to raise your oxygen level because you're deep breathing. And it's like, well, that sounds pretty medicinal, right? And so there is a physiological connection that, like, what you were saying, like, where, like, it awakens the soul.
Right.
So if we realize that we are body and soul, we're not just body and we're not just soul, right? That there's spirit and there is flesh, and in that incarnational, like, combination, right, then you start to realize that one informs the other. So if you're looking for God, well, then look to beauty.
Right. And I think it's important to hit home something, especially as we'll see, this relates to Advent and how the Lord comes to us through beauty. But, you know, beauty is not just a personal interior process, right? It's not just, oh, well, that moved my soul, it uplifted me, and therefore its beauty. I think that we need to take a step back a little bit further and identify beauty as being actually relational. That God is communicating himself to us through beauty. And that's the thing that is lifting up the soul. He is speaking to us through beauty in a way that moves the soul up to greet him there, right?
Yeah, I agree with that. And that's where we need to be aware that there are things that we can participate in that we're moved by, right? We sit through a beautiful liturgy. We sit through we hear a beautiful song, and it moves us sometimes to tears because something is like, wow, that just, I don't know, that struck me way down in here.
Yes.
You know, and the thing is, that's what people need to realize is like, well, that's God speaking to you.
Well, and the thing is, as you mentioned atheists earlier, there's a whole lot of different, you know, people from different walks of life, atheists, agnostics. You know, Walt Whitman was someone who, you know, he wasn't an atheist, but he did not believe in a personal God. He never professed, to my knowledge, belief in a personal God. And yet, I want to read a little excerpt of poetry that from Walt Whitman that I think speaks to exactly what we're talking about, where he said, "A child said, 'What is the grass?' Fetching it to me with full hands, how could I answer the child? I do not know what it is any more than he. I guess it must be the flag of my disposition, out of hopeful green stuff woven. Or I guess it is the handkerchief of the Lord, a scented gift and remembrancer, designedly dropped, bearing the owner's name some way in the corners, that we may see and remark and say, 'Whose?'"
Yeah, see, that's, you know, it's interesting when you read that, it's like, it just sounds like it could be on like a nature program.
Sure, sure.
Right? And there are plenty of people, I think, who would say, you know, like, why do you need religion? Why do you need all that religious stuff when I can just go and commune with nature? And I think what Walt Whitman is helping us see here, but what we could always say to a person like that is like, you're closer to God than you think.
Yes.
Right? You might think that there's no God or that you don't need God, but you're living in God's very presence in nature.
Yes.
Right? So all the things that we respond to, so symmetry. It's interesting that people think that like symmetrical faces are more pleasant to look at than asymmetrical faces.
Yes.
Right? And so there's and then like things like harmony as opposed to like dissonance.
Right.
Right? In music. So a harmonious chord structure versus like putting in like a little minor seventh something. I don't know anything about music. Putting in some kind of weird note in here that sounds like your bagpipes are a little sour there, you know? And it's like you hear that and it's like it ruins everything. It's like, what is it ruining? And it actually, again, that'll make your blood pressure go up. It'll make you more tense. It'll make your heart start beating faster. It'll make you more anxious. But then like beautiful, harmonious music will calm you.
Well, and it also applies even to things like mathematics and science, you know, that's sort of the spirit and life, the beauty that underlies it. You know, like Albert Einstein, for example, he wasn't someone who believed in like a personal God, but he famously said things like, God doesn't roll dice. Like he's someone who wanted to be in, the thing that drew him to science was a desire to be in touch with the order that underlies everything. And he had a deep appreciation for mathematical beauty, which kind of links up to what you're talking about. So like things like E equals MC squared, being able to take extraordinarily complex concepts and to be able to boil it down, just E equals MC squared. And in fact, there's a quote of his, I don't have it at my fingertips, but so I'm just going to paraphrase it. And I think it was about that particular equation where he said, you know what, we don't really have to even test it because it's so elegant, you know, by that he's saying it's so beautiful, it must be true.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, which is interesting, just sort of the intuition when you see that order and you see that harmony, because I think that speaks to that harmony that you were talking there, is just, I'm seeing truth. Truth is speaking to my soul here.
When you have someone who doubts the existence of God or is not worried about it, doesn't want to spend any time thinking about God, this is why when you're talking about things like this, when you're talking about beauty, but also, as we've mentioned a couple times now, order, when something, if you can help someone who doesn't believe in God understand that there is order in the universe, like in the relationship with like our planet and the sun, with gravity, the way the moon revolves around the earth and all these things, if you unless you're a flat earther, I don't know if there's some flat earthers out there or not, but the thing is, if you help someone understand that there is order, that there are things that are predictable, that we know that, like, if I was going to give you an extended weather forecast, it'd be like, well, it's going to get kind of cold this winter, then it's going to start to warm up again in the spring. It's going to get pretty hot in the summer. Then it's going to start to chill down again in the fall, and then it's going to get cold again next winter, and that we're going to repeat this cycle as we make these revolutions around the sun. And you start to realize that, like, there is order, there is predictability, and that's there's that means there's an orderer. There that order like necessarily means that it wouldn't be random.
Right.
It wouldn't be random. It's not random. It's not chaotic. It's actually ordered. And so that's where people need to understand. It's like, well, if there is order, if there is predictability, then there is God. And that's an important distinction to help people know. It's like, it's not about the religiosity. It's not necessarily about the ritual, although we'll talk about those in a minute. Those are good things that are beautiful and that help us to see God more clearly. But at the same time, If you eschew all that, if you get rid of all of that church worship, you still can find God, right, in that order. And that's what I think some of the lost souls in the world need to understand. And even us who we go to church every Sunday, we need to understand why things are beautiful. And that's why I think it's a travesty when we have people trying to reinvent the math stuff. Like to say, well, you know, we're not worried about getting things right or wrong. 1 + 1 may equal 3 to somebody.
That'll raise your blood pressure.
Yeah, exactly. Raise your blood pressure is exactly right. And it's like you're thinking, no, you want to teach children order, mm-hmm. and that there is harmony and there is good to be found in that order. We'll talk about good as a whole nother thing. But the reality is that we discover God in that order. And so no wonder we have an increasingly godless society if people don't recognize something that's ordered, something that is beautiful, right? And that's why also when you say, look, how you worship doesn't matter. It's like, well, actually, I think it does. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't personally like hearing tambourines or something like that in a church, because there's something, I don't know, disconcerting about it. Something it's like a dissonance. It's like it's weird kind of razor's edge, sharp edge of something where I want to see something more beautiful, something that is literally transcendent, something that's not time designated. In other words, it's not like, it's not enslaved to the times we live in.
Yeah.
I don't want modern music. I want music. I want eternal music.
Right.
I would want the music that I would think would be in heaven.
Right.
And the only way I know what that could be on earth is if I experience heaven on earth by the liturgy that I participate in, by the music that I listen to, by the experiences of seeing things that are beautiful, stained glass windows and all these things. This is why beauty is so important for us to understand the context, especially if we live in a world where we're struggling because our kids don't believe in God anymore.
Right.
I mean, anybody else have those experiences?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like it's really hard as a parent to go like, I wish this one understood what that one understands, mm-hmm. you know, and that they would see that draw. You know, one of the great historical things about our, you know, the different flavors, I guess, of our church in history is like the Franciscans.
Yeah.
There's you always see like little statues in people's yards if they have a St. Francis. He's always got like a little bird sitting on his shoulder,
right.
You know, or in his hands or whatever. So he's famously associated with the, you know, brother, son, and sister moon and some of these things. People are like, he's a little kind of touchy feely, warmy, fuzzy with the nature stuff, isn't he?
Right, right.
I mean, why is that? You know, people might ask.
Well, I mean, St. Francis of Assisi, he wasn't like just some hippie. I mean, at the end of the day, he understood at the core of his
He was a little
soul.
Hippie, but
right. Hip
and like cool.
yeah, exactly.
For his day.
But he understood that God has a participation in all of creation and that God can communicate himself through creation and through natural beauty. And so this goes back to this notion of beauty is relational. God was speaking to him, relating to him in nature. And like you were talking about outer space earlier, I mean, beauty extends across the universe in ways that they could not have imagined. They saw the beauty of the stars in a way that a lot of times we don't see because of all the light pollution. But we're really seeing the beauty of the stars through things like the James Webb Telescope. Imagine if you were able to go to the Franciscans back in the 1200s and show
them. Check this out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, God has just painted masterfully this universe with this paintbrush. He didn't have any need to, I mean, he could have just made it a void out there. He didn't do that. He made it where we were literally just surrounded by just unimaginable beauty.
That you have to actually work at seeing some of it. There's some stuff that's very evident in front of our very eyes.
Yes.
And there's some things that, like, as we continue to discover, people think that the church is anti-science. We're not. When you look at these big, powerful telescopes and you look out there and go like, wow, not only do you see vastness, like, this is way bigger than we thought, guys. This is really big. It's also, it's really beautiful. Some of the colors and how that telescope interprets, like, what those colors of some of these galaxies and solar systems and things that are out there and star clusters, all these things that are so, so beautiful. But it's not only out there. It's actually, we can go, like, the most powerful microscopes. And you go into these microscopes and see these beautiful, intricate, detailed, colorful, wonderful, different,
like,
things that are tiny.
Grains of sand and shells. Yeah,
and you start going like, wait a second, this is absolutely beautiful.
Yes, because, I mean, God works through beauty, you know, and he is smiling on us in the beauty of creation. And I think this relates very much to Advent, you know, the coming of the Lord, Emmanuel, right? Emmanuel, God is with us. Right? I mean, God is saying, I am here, when he speaks to us through beauty. And so I think it's important for us to welcome that beauty into our heart more fully during the course of this Advent season. And also notice there's something about how when a person is alive with love of God, the grace that's moving through them. Have you noticed that those people seem way more beautiful? You know?
And you want to be around them. They're attractive.
Yes.
And I don't mean that necessarily in a way that the world would see someone who,
like,
is
physically
attractive. I don't look at, like, our friend Mike Bishop and go like, he's a 10. You know? You don't think that, right? What you think is like, I want to be around that guy.
But there's
infectious. It's actually
attractive.
It's almost
like you see a soul.
Yes, exactly. There's just this beautiful light and joy that comes to someone who's devoted themselves through God. So, I mean, it's not just in nature, right? It's also in persons. Mm-hmm. I mean, God what he's doing is in that person, God is saying, I am here. Mm-hmm. And the fullness of God's beauty, or it's the fullness of God's beauty is the beatific vision, but God is...
Yeah, we'd blow up if we saw it right now.
Yeah, God is giving us a taste of his beauty, of the beatific vision, by shining his love through others.
Amen. And that's what I tell... we talked about this a little bit in our marriage preparation series that we did all about stuff about marriage with all those, like, 14 or 15 shows we did in a row. But I tell married couples that you are going to be the people that people want to hang out with. The joy that's in your marriage is going to be evident, and it's going to be radiating, and people will see the smiles on your faces. They'll want to be around with you. They will want to hang out with you, right? And that's exactly what you're talking about, is that this inner joy just radiates out of you, and that's what's beautiful. That's what's attractive. That's why people want to be around that. And people don't want to be around someone who's somber and sour and dour and downtrodden and just feeling and then, like, they live that outside. People are like, that's not very beautiful.
Right.
Right. And it's not about our sexuality or our what the world thinks beautiful is.
Right.
Right. It's about like this thing that is transcendent, right? There's a quote from Pope Benedict that I wanted to read. That ties all this together here. Like the rest of Christian revelation, the liturgy is inherently linked to beauty. It is veritatis splendor, or the splendor of truth. The liturgy is a radiant expression of the paschal mystery in which Christ draws us to himself and calls us to communion. As Saint Bonaventure would say, in Jesus we contemplate beauty and splendor at their source. So when we were talking earlier about, like, it matters where you go to church, how you go to church. It matters how you present the liturgy. If you're in the church's hierarchy, you need to care about the liturgy you're doing. This is not like a, we're not checking boxes here. Checking boxes is not beautiful.
Right.
Participating, or as you started out, Sam, talking early on about beauty is relational. Having a relationship with God through the liturgy is one of the most profound ways in which you can experience God.
Yes.
Right? It actually is more revealing of God than just looking at a sunset. A sunset or a big vast beach or a beautiful snow-capped mountain, these are all beautiful things, and we can see God in that. But in the liturgy, what St. Bonaventure is saying, Benedict quotes, is essentially like we're connected to the source of that beauty. Mm-hmm. We're now connected to God. We're having a relationship with God in this liturgy. So if anyone says, like, oh, I hate it when they chant the Our Father. I hate it when they do this. I hate this. That's the long mass. I'm not going to the Easter Vigil because that's like the 3-hour mass. I'm not doing that. But imagine 3 hours of beauty. Imagine 3 hours of being with God in a most profound way. It's like, okay, I can imagine that. And you know what? I've participated in that. And it's beautiful.
And he's romancing the soul, just as a bridegroom romances his bride. And he wants us to just swoon for him and fall in love with him.
Amen. And he does. The romancing, God is, he's wooing us.
Yes.
He is calling us with beauty to have a relationship with him. It's a beautiful, beautiful gift and a beautiful opportunity, and it's what we need to respond to. It's where we need to be, and it's exactly who we were called to be. And so this transcendental beauty that we experience is a profound way in which we can find God, and those who desperately need God can find God. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.